Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Again, let us pray. Brother Michael, would you word our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Forgiveness. Interesting word. Interesting concept. Something that we seldom preach on. Perhaps we should preach on more frequently as a reminder. However, I want to begin today with a statement found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, where we're told we are the temple of God. Of the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, do you know and do you believe that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you? Absolutely. And because the Holy Spirit lives within you, there should be a continual closeness and fellowship with God. From morning till evening, every day, that fellowship should never be hindered. But have you ever come to the point where it just seems like God is distant? I'm going to ask for confession time. If you've ever come to that point where, and we know it's not God that's distant, it's us. But if you've ever come to that point where your relationship just feels so distant from God, and I'm not even saying right now, but would you raise your hands if you've ever experienced that? Amen. All right. So, this message today may apply to you. I'm talking about those times when you can't worship, when you can't pray, when you get on your knees and you mouth a prayer, but the words just fall to the ground. Those times when inside you know things are not right with God, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Well, today, I just want to do a spiritual checkup where you are. We're told in the text, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That word grieve, of course, it means to cause severe emotional distress, to make sad, to break a heart, we might say. Now, you don't just get up one day and decide, I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. No, that's not how it goes. As a matter of fact, most of the time it just sneaks up on us. Things happen and life happens and there's this attitude because of things that happen, and we may even dare say an obsession that kind of takes over us. Somebody does us wrong. Somebody's abused us. Somebody's mistreated us. And that sets on the inside. And on the inside it becomes resentment. Have you ever experienced resentment? I'm going to ask for honesty once again. Raise your hand. We all have. But you have to be very careful about resentment in that we're talking about bitterness. You see, it said put away all bitterness. That word bitterness means an attitude of hostility. It begins when somebody has done you wrong. Now, let's confess again. Has anybody ever done you wrong? Amen. Amen. I mean, it happens. That's life. If you've never been abused or mistreated, you have lived a very sheltered life. I don't know. They said something. They did something. They abused us in some form or fashion. And it's that thought, because of what someone has done to me, that I just can't get rid of this feeling on the inside. And the more I think about it, the more it eats away at me. Now, each day, it grows and it grows, and each time I see that person that has abused me, those old feelings come flooding within and I just can't get rid of them. And even if I don't see that person that has abused me, I hear that name. You ever been to that point where when you hear the name, it just... Been there and done that? I think we probably all have. And even if I don't see them, and even if I don't hear that name, I'm living normal life, and all of a sudden this thought just kind of flutters through my mind. No, it has to be from Satan. There's no other way to describe it. This thought comes fluttering through my mind about that individual, what that individual did, and it ruins my entire day. And that feeling just continues to grow. That resentment, until it pushes the voice of God off to the side where I can no longer listen and hear God speak. You see, that's what we're talking about when we're grieving the Spirit. It's more than just making God sad. It's repressing the Spirit to the point that you can't hear God anymore. And I want to share with you the danger of bitterness. Bitterness grows. The longer you hold it, the more dominating it becomes. And you become cold and distant and unable to have a normal relationship with you and God. Unable to have a normal relationship between you and others, because you look at people and you think, well, I've been hurt before, and if I let them into my life, I'll be hurt again. The saddest part is the emptiness. You ever do the emptiness? When you're just, all you have to hold on to is the bitterness. And here's the danger. You're going to hurt somebody. If I have your attention, would you just say amen? Because I want you to get this part. You cannot let that bitterness grow and grow and grow without one day becoming an explosion and boiling over and hurting the people that you love in your life. Number one, you're hurting God because your relationship is not what it should be. Number two, you're hurting yourself because there's no peace, there's no joy. And number three, you're going to hurt the people that you love most, your wife. You know, when she just appears and says something and, good morning, what's it to you? Your kids, when they do the kid thing and they have that small little mishap or whatever, and you just blow up and blow it out of proportion. Why do we do that? Because probably oftentimes we're not mad at our kids, we're mad at somebody else, and we're holding that bitterness within, and it's growing and it's growing and it's growing, and we've got to have an outlet, and the wife and kids are just basically there in the wrong place at the wrong time. The fact is, that bitterness may have originated towards someone who wronged you, but the result of the bitterness has absolutely nothing to do with them, because they've moved on, either because they don't care or they had no idea. You see, you're the one living in pain. You're the one that's hurting. And I want you to understand, if you continue down that road, listen to me and listen well, you will lose. You will lose. Your family will lose. That bitterness will consume you to the point that you want retaliation. We've all been there. You know, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I don't care what I have to do. I'm going to get them. Pay them back. See, Jesus Paul writes here in verse 31, let all bitterness. He started with bitterness because that's an overall attitude. Then he goes on expounding on the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. Let all that be put away from you. You see, it starts with bitterness and then it turns to wrath. You blow up. It's that expression of intense anger when you just can't hold that rage in anymore. It doesn't matter who sees. It doesn't matter who hears. It doesn't matter anything. All that matters is that I've got to explode. That's when it all comes flowing out like a flood. How many of you have lost your cool? Here we are, confession time, right? You know the sad part about wrath and exploding and losing your cool? Is after you've done it, you discover it did absolutely no good. It didn't change anything. As a matter of fact, most of the time that I've lost my cool, I felt worse after than I did before. That bitterness grows into wrath, turning into anger. Anger is that attitude of retribution. I'm going to get even. You begin to plan how to get them back. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. I'll never forget. It doesn't matter what I have to do. I will get even. It doesn't matter who I have to hurt along the way because they have abused me and they deserve what I plan to get them. But then you find that doesn't help. And clamor. It said, put away clamor. Clamor is shouting. Oh, it's always good. And it's shouting like two people in argument. Okay? When the wrath doesn't work, the anger doesn't work, you begin to confront that individual and blow up with words. Sometimes even having things come out of your mouth that should not come out of the mouth of a child of God. A vicious word, mean speech. A warning right there. You cannot unspeak a word. You cannot unspeak a word. Okay? Once that comes out, it's heard by everyone. And the impression is made, and the hurt is done. The wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. And this is the one I love because we see it very regularly in life. You see, that speech that's aimed to harm or abuse someone. It's when we want to justify our actions, our anger, our wrath. And we began to run over here and I run over here to Brother Joe Hogg on the front row. And I say, Brother Joe, you'll never believe what Michael Weatherford did to me. See, I can use him. He's part of church staff, right? And then I begin to pour out on Brother Joe how bad Brother Michael Weatherford is. And that's an example. I love Brother Michael. Okay? Great guy. But you see, I run over here and I try to win Brother Joe over to my side. And once I get Brother Joe on my side, I'm going to run back there to Brother Greg Long and I'm going to run to somebody else. And I'm going to run to anybody who will listen and try to justify my attitude and my actions and my bitterness. But I can tell as many people as I want to tell. And you know what? When I'm done, I discover that it does no good. It doesn't change what's on the inside of me. And pretty soon my wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking turns into malice. And that malice is just a vicious attitude. A bad attitude. You ever known, have you ever seen people who were never happy? How are you today? Those people that you spend 5 minutes with, it seems like you were with them for 5 hours and all you heard was negative. That you can tell there's a bitterness on the inside, but you just can't tell. You know, you don't know where that bitterness came from. Those individuals that nobody really wants to be around because it just dampens the day. You see, the bottom line, the result of this bitterness as it inflames wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, the result is misery. A miserable feeling within. And you're going to discover that in this process of retaliation and bitterness, that you are the one who suffers. Not the person who has abused you. What you have done is you have quenched the Spirit. You've extinguished the Spirit of God and said, "No, Spirit of God, I know this shouldn't be on the inside, but I'm not going to listen to you because I had rather hate. I had rather have this feeling of resentment, and I refuse to let go." You've grieved the Spirit because you've turned to your hate instead of turning to God. And so the result is you can't pray, you can't worship, you can't be around people, you don't have peace. Here's my question. How long will you live this way? How long will you live this way? Because let's face it, it's no fun to have no joy. And you say, "Brother Doug, you just don't understand what they did to me." It doesn't matter what they did to me. You have to understand that you're the one still paying for what they did to you. I'm not suggesting to anyone that it's okay to be abused by someone else or hurt by someone. That's not my suggesting. What I want you to get today is that you are causing your continued misery. And you've got to do something about it. You've got to. Because it's not going to get any better. Which brings us to recovery. How do you get through it? Well, you begin with an ounce of prevention and try to never get in there, okay? The best recovery is to never give place to a root of bitterness. When you start to feel that bitterness, cut it off, get on your knees, lay it at the altar of God and say, "God, I give it to you. Please do not let this fester and begin to control me." As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews, we read about that, 12:15, he says, "Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God." What's he saying? He's saying, be very careful, because it's very easy to wind up here. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. But it didn't end there. "And by this many have become defiled." You see, your bitterness is not messing with just you. It's messing with everybody who knows you. Okay? So when you come to that point where somebody's abused you, you've got to stop it from the very beginning. You've got to put the brakes on from the very start. The other way you prevent it is the way you treat people. In verse 31, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted." Just be good to one another. Consider one another. Care about one another enough that you don't have to speak your mind. Did you know that? That's a newsflash. You don't have to speak your mind. And quite often it's good that you don't. Or maybe I say it's good that I don't. Okay? Be kind. Gracious toward one another. Compassionate. Tender-hearted. Feeling for others. Make that your rule of life. But even in being kind and tender-hearted to one another, someone is still one day going to exercise that abuse in your life, and you're going to have to deal with forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is the only sure cure. And I want you to understand. You say, "Brother Doug, I just can't. I don't know how." I want you to understand what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is literally to release or cancel a debt. Okay? It's to release or cancel a debt. It comes from that feeling that they owe me. As a matter of fact, that's where we get, "I'm going to get you back," Is it not? Because you have wronged me and you owe me. Therefore, I'm going to take my payout via your suffering. That's what it is. Forgiveness says, yes, you have wronged me, but I dismiss that debt. I do not want you to suffer. I do not want you to pay with your own blood. I do not demand anything from you. I just release you from the debt you owe me. It does not mean that you're going to be best of friends. Okay? That's reconciliation. That's a whole different message. It does not mean that you're going to hold hands and skip into the sunset together. That has nothing to do with forgiveness. It does not mean that you can erase it. You've heard the old term forgive and forget. I want to tell you, you cannot forget. But you can choose not to seek the hurt of that individual any longer. That's the idea. Pay me back by your suffering. You see, the focus has to change. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies." Word there, an interesting word, love. It's agape. It's not a manly, a brotherly love. It's a godly love. And that's the only way you can do it. Okay? It has to be a God thing. God has to give you the ability to love that enemy. And bless those who curse you. You know what that's talking about? That person that has wronged you. You don't have to run around and do that evil speaking anymore. Just say, "I wish him well." "But Brother Doug, that's a lie." That's a first step, okay? I'm not suggesting it doesn't take prayer. I'm not suggesting that you don't have to get a hold of your mind and what's on the inside and pour your heart out to God and say, "God, I know these feelings are in me and you're the only one that can take care of it." And don't get off your knees until God takes care of it. "But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Here's the deal. You really want to deal with forgiveness? Pray for your enemy. You know, I discovered something not so long ago that it's easy to repress things. You know? Just push them back and just deal with them and live with the pain, live with the hurt. Try not to think about them, but that doesn't work because they always come back. And I found this scripture, and I've heard this scripture before, but you know, sometimes God says, "Here you go, Doug." And I got to that part, "Pray for your enemies." And now listen, I'm a preacher. I've been pastoring about 25 years, so I've ruffled a feather or two along the way. You can't not be a pastor and not ruffle a feather along the way. And I have remembered every mean-spirited thing, or a lot of the mean-spirited things that were done to me throughout the process of time. You know what helped me? You know, it's kind of like carrying baggage that you never show. But it helped me when I began to pray for those people. And I started saying, "Lord, bless them. Lord, I don't want to hold anything against them anymore. At the thought of them, I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be bitter. I just pray for their good." And you know, when I began to do that, I began to let go of a lot of things, or God helped me to let go of a lot of things that should have been let go of a long time ago that I didn't even realize I was carrying. What am I saying? I'm saying God's way works. Carrying the bitterness and resentment does not work. You see, it comes down to a matter of just trusting God. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." You see, sometimes you just got to back up and say, "Yes, they did me dirty. Yes, they did me wrong. They took something from me. They stole from me. They, whatever." And you just got to back up and say, "Lord, you know it all. And I trust you to do what's right and what needs to be done. Lord, I pray for their good and I pray for your glory." You see, that's what forgiveness is. You may not can erase it from your memory, but you can sure treat it in a manner that will not harbor and create the bitterness in your life that is natural to occur. You see, the last line tells it all in the text that we read, verse 31. Be kind to one, or verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for me. Even though I didn't deserve it, even though I was an enemy of the cross, I was His enemy, I was at odds with God, I've done things I shouldn't have done, Jesus still died for me and offered me His forgiveness. And this says, do it like Jesus did it. You know, a short time ago, we used to wear those bracelets, WWJD. You remember? What does that stand for? Quick, go. What would Jesus do? Here it is. Did you mean it? See, here's the opportunity where you have to put it into practice. And you have to understand, as you forgive, you're doing it for yourself. For your own peace. For your own relationship with God. Oh, listen, we've all been abused in some manner or another. My challenge today is to make sure you've not been carrying bitterness along the way, because that destroys you and it destroys your relationship with God. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I like that. Do you like that? Amen. If I forgive others, my Father's going to forgive me. This is the part that kind of makes it hard for me to swallow. It's verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, I asked the question in the beginning. Have you ever been at that point where things seem distant? Where your relationship with God you knew was not right. Maybe you just hadn't put your finger on it, but you knew something was not right. Oftentimes it's because we're living in unforgiven sin. The reason we're living in unforgiving sin is because we're holding on to every debt that has ever been done to us in the past. My challenge to you today, this isn't a service of confession. I'm not going to ask you to come forward and tell me every bad thing that anybody's ever done to you. As a matter of fact, I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. But I'll tell you what I do need. I need to make sure that you are not living in bitterness. That you have not given Satan that foothold to disrupt your relationship with God. And if you are, my challenge is take care of it today, because you're not punishing the one who has wronged you. You're punishing yourself and the others around you. Don't live this way anymore. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. You may be here today, and this message has kind of touched a spot. If it has, the best thing for you to do is spend some serious time with God in prayer. This altar is open for you. And maybe you're here today and you know someone who's living with bitterness. This altar is open. Well, Brother Doug, if I come to the altar, they're going to think I'm living in bitterness. Don't matter what everybody else thinks. It matters what God thinks. And if you're concerned about someone, you come and pray for them. Okay? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus is your Savior. You don't know the peace that I've talked about. Oh, listen, my friend. Life's much better when you know where you're going. None of us have the guarantee tomorrow. You say, I'll do it next week, next month, and I've got to take care of some things, you know. But once I get these things taken care of, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Listen, take care of it today. So number one, you're not going to straighten your life out. God is. Okay? And number two, today's all you have. If you're not a child of God, would you come forward in this invitation? And let me share with you in the Scripture how that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Maybe you're here today and there's another need. And I've not touched on, you know, I've not even touched on it, but God has dealt with your heart. Whatever the need is, you are in the presence of God. Where two or three are together, He's in our midst. Why would you walk away not taking care of a spiritual need? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. As we come to this invitation, Lord, you know the hearts and you know the needs that are present here today. And I don't have a clue, Lord. I don't have a clue who's living in bitterness and who's not. I don't have a clue, Lord, of relationships that have been broken and need to be restored. I don't know those things, but Lord, you know. And so, Lord, we lift this invitation up to you, and I pray that in your presence here now, Lord, we'll get serious with you. We'll do business with you. And we'll start the road to recovery by granting forgiveness and cancellation of the debts we've hung on to for so long. I pray for those who are lost. Lord, you gave your life so that they could have eternal life. And I pray that today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation and make that life commitment. I pray, Lord, whatever spiritual need is present here, I pray that we, with open hearts, will respond. In Jesus' name.